It's another one. I got that juice, juice. New AP. She got that juice, juice. She got that squeeze. She got that wet, wet. I'm on them skis. I got that drip, drip. I'm overseas. D-R-I.
How's everybody doing today? It is a Tuesday, big victory Tuesday on the juice today. I'm very excited for this episode, even though there's some tough stuff I want to talk about that, and if you paid attention to last week's episode, you can tell why I'm not very happy today. But anyways, let's just get right into it. So I want to talk about, obviously, the big game we had on Thursday. I said Packers would win, Packers money line. I had a gut feeling that Aaron Rodgers would be able to scrounge up a victory and be able to distribute and kind of manage the game to where he's able to make, you know, big plays and we can get the run game going, and all we have to do is get pressure on Kyler Murray. And it's safe to say that we did that. We won that game fair and square. I don't care about AJ Green not even running a route and Rasul Douglas picking that off. We won that game fair and square. The time possession was completely lopsided to Green Bay. It was just the perfect game plan. Just short throws, get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands quick, because we didn't really have a wide receiver that could create big separation. So you got to be able to stick with short routes. So what I thought the game plan for the wide receivers and Aaron Rodgers was great by Matt LaFleur. And on top of that, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones absolutely killed it in the run game. And actually, I made some notes about the game, and I did, you know, did my takeaways of the game. I do this every week for Packer games, but, you know, I'm just going to say them right now. So, yes, Aaron did not light up the stat sheet. Yes, that first half, he was under 50% completions percentage. But he did everything he possibly could to win this game. There was not one receiver that he had that has the ability to make big separation, and he made the necessary throws in place to win. There was really, I can't even really think of a throw he necessarily missed badly. There was a couple, you know, maybe throws that, like, weren't exactly on target. But then again, with those receivers, the catch radius and their ability to, you know, make those contested catches like that, tough catches like that, not a lot of our receivers can make other than maybe Randall Cobb. And Robert Tonyan, feels sick for him. But people need to, I'm going to touch on Tonyan for a little bit here. Robert Tonyan is not the most talented, is not a very, very talented tight end. I think we all know that. He's a decent blocker, and he catches everything. But on top of that, after the catch, he's not crazy on anything other than the, and he hasn't been utilized in the red zone this much this year, which I really didn't like. But when it comes to using the entire, when it comes to the entire field for Robert Tonyan, he's not really that versatile when it comes to the pass game, other than, you know, just basic seam routes, maybe a tight end screen here and there, and he's decent after the catch. But his role is very replaceable. And what I saw from Josiah DeGuara in the past game, I really liked. I thought he showed a little bit more speed than Robert Tonyan. I think he's a better blocker than Tonyan, because really, when he got drafted out of Cincinnati, that was his role coming in. He was supposed to be just a tight end, fullback, sort of hybrid, and in that hybrid role, you got to be able to block. Kind of like the Kyle Juszczyk role. And I thought Josiah DeGuara, with his ability to block, and now his new bigger role in the pass game, I think he's going to do perfectly fine. Because what Robert Tonyan was doing, I feel like Josiah DeGuara has the ability to do too. He's young. I think he's a great player. And I'm very excited to see how he can do it. And then obviously we have Mercedes there to help with the run blocking. You love the player. I love Robert Tonyan. And you hate to see him go down like that. But then you think about the bigger picture and how it looks for the rest of the season and the outlook of the rest of the season at the tight end position. And it really doesn't worry me that much. So, again, feel sick for Robert Tonyan, but we can bounce back from this. In terms of the run game, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon played phenomenal, especially A.J. Dillon. I think this guy, if we keep, you know, if we completely play out Aaron Jones' contract and we still need him, because obviously as A.J. Dillon develops as a player, you know, as he's developing as a pass catcher and obviously a running back, we may not need Aaron Jones 2 years down the line. But when we have those two in the same backfield, it's going to be scary. And the reason, and what I mean by that is, I think the most effective Packers formation is when Aaron Rodgers is in the shotgun with both A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones in the backfield. It opens up so many things. It allows you to motion Aaron Jones out and have him play from the slot, which he's very good at. And it also allows the defense to, you know, really not... It, when you have those two in the backfield, you really don't know what Matt LaFleur is going to drop in terms of a screen, maybe a zone run play that is going to, you know, open up some great opportunities in the pass game. Any sort of play action, which I believe Matt LaFleur's play action calls are terrific. So when those two are in the same backfield together, if you can get Aaron Jones more opportunities and out wide and have Aaron Jones have A.J. Dillon in the backfield with play action, I think it's really dangerous. And that's my favorite personnel is when A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones are on the field. And you're going to see more of that as maybe we're going to be taking Josiah DeGuara out a little more and putting that two-man backfield in, which is very scary. So, yeah, I love what I saw from those two. In terms of the defensive game plan, while Joe Burry wasn't there, it is obvious that what he drew up on Zoom was terrific. I thought what he did against Kyler Murray was terrific. I thought going into the game, Kyler cannot extend plays because I don't know if we have enough. I didn't know if we had if Rasul Douglas or even Shamar Jean Charles or Isaac Yiadom, if he ever made it on the field, which he really didn't. We're gonna be able to keep up with you know, the Cardinals receivers if Kyler Murray is able to extend his plays, and he really couldn't until the last drive. He really could not get out of the pocket, which is perfect because when he's able to extend plays, the Cardinals receivers are perfect for those longer plays where they're able to break off their routes and go and, you know, just use their entire speed just to get open. It's really what the Cardinals offense is. Kyler Murray getting out and Rondell Moore, Christian Kirk just being able to get open while DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green kind of control the middle of the field and give Kyler a safer option. It's really that simple. And Kyler was not able to get out of the pocket, which you got to credit Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. Their edge rushes were excellent. Devondre Campbell held the middle of the field down perfectly, besides one missed tackle on the second and 18, I believe, on the last drive. Devondre Campbell was terrific, and then Dean Lowry actually played pretty well. He got some good edge rush. I don't know why my voice sounds like this. I'm not sounding very well, but here we go. Dean Lowry was really not edge rush. I mean, like interior pass rush, he was very, very good. He even got a sack, which I really liked. And then on terms of the secondary, Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage really did their thing. They kind of kept the deep plays out of Kyler Murray's arsenal, and then Rasul Douglas really, really stepped up. I like his physicality. And then Eric Stokes, the throw to the long play to DeAndre Hopkins was kind of lucky to me. He wasn't really watching the ball. He was more focused on DeAndre Hopkins, and DeAndre Hopkins... Actually, it's the opposite. Eric Stokes was more focused on the ball. DeAndre Hopkins was able to, you know, the throw by Kyler was good, but he had to kind of adjust his route. And if Eric Stokes is looking at the ball, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be open 9 times out of 10. So, yeah, other than that, that's just a young rookie mistake that Eric Stokes will eventually get better at. And once Jair gets back, the pressure will be taken off him, and he won't have to worry about, you know, being that number one corner that needs to take out at least one player out of the game. And I thought Eric Stokes did perfectly fine. So, all that said, if we can get Jair back and couple that with our brilliant safeties and three corners, Rasul Douglas... Actually, four when Kevin King comes back. You got four of those corners with Eric Stokes, Jair, Rasul Douglas, and Kevin King. It's going to be a tough defense to stop if it already isn't. I mean, we're missing Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander, and our defense is top 10. So this team is looking amazing. I am so excited for when our team is at full health. We're already getting it for a very big game against the Chiefs. Bakhtiari, my guess is he's going to play. Lazard is already activated off the COVID list. Devontae will probably be activated soon, and then MVS will be playing this Sunday, so you got those three receivers back. The offense will be electric against that Chiefs defense, and I'll get more into that soon, but yeah, great game.
I was freaking out. It was really something special. That was one of the more impressive Packer regular season wins in the Matt LaFleur era. Because really, I've talked about this a lot. If you're a real Packer fan and you've been watching the Packers for as long as I have, it is rare. I don't know what it is. It was even the Mark McCarthy era and the Matt LaFleur era. It is rare that you get a great game from both sides of the ball. And it really was. We needed that on Thursday to win this game, and we did. Like, it's not often where the defense is playing so well and the offense is humming. I wouldn't say the offense was humming on Thursday, but they had that was the game plan that they had to do. They weren't going to be able to light up the stat sheet and the scoreboard. They just couldn't. They didn't have the weapons to do it. And the offense played well, the defense played well. When you couple those together, obviously your team's going to win. And frankly, we haven't seen many of those games in the you know, the 10 plus years I've been watching the Packers. There's not many games that I can think of where the defense and the offense just played a coherent game and there really wasn't much to complain about on either side. I really did not have much to complain about for the three facets of the game. So yeah, off that game, we'll get more into the next week, but I want to talk about a new segment. This is really just some time for me to talk about my weekend. If something interesting happens during my weekend, which normally it doesn't, then I'm going to talk about it. And we're going to call the segment Juices Weekend. Perfect. Yeah, perfect name. So I went to the Badger game on Saturday. Big win over Iowa, 27-7. And I went with Matt Young, JJ Piter, and Victor Guerra. And at the game, we had good seats. And, you know, we were watching, and obviously there's, like, Iowa fans here and there, and then there's a big section of Iowa fans on some side of the field, but there's an Iowa fan just kind of in different spots of the stadium. We were, I think, four rows ahead of an Iowa fan. No problem. I really don't have a problem with what this guy was saying, but gosh, I was laughing my ass off at this point. When the name of the Iowa starting quarterback is Spencer Petras, and that's just a perfect name for what this guy, the way he was talking, the way he was cheering him, just a perfect name for, like, this cheer that the guy was saying. So we're up, the Badgers are up, like, what, 20-7 at this point. The Iowa offense is literally getting nothing going, and I respect this guy. He kept cheering for his team, and he kept cheering for a better outcome in each offensive possession. And he'd go, me and JJ were laughing about this, he'd go, "All right, Petras, let's go, Petras." And he'd say that before every single play. "Come on, Petras. I mean, it's just like, I was laughing so hard at the way he was talking and the way he sounded. It was so funny. Maybe this is like a had-to-be-there story, but I thought it was hilarious. The guy's just like a typical Iowa, just die hard, and he does not care about what the scoreboard says. He is straight looking at Spencer Petras, and he's saying, "Spencer, make a play, kid. Let's see if we can get back into this game." Even though they couldn't. Jim Leonard had a terrific defense this year, and it's the best defense in football. Unfortunately, we got a mixture of poor quarterback play, poor play calling, and a young, disappointing offensive line on the offensive side. If we didn't have that, I feel like the Badgers would be one of the best teams in the nation with this defense. But I feel like that's how it is with every single year with the Badgers, except this year we really don't have that game-changing running back. Braylon Allen will be, but not right now. He's a little too young. He's 17 years old, 6'2", 240. Doesn't make any sense. So, but hey, getting Big Ten championship, we'll see if they win out. We're there. If you told me after that, after the Notre Dame loss, I would have called you crazy. But season's not over. We can still make a big bowl game. Let's see. But yeah, Badger game, very fun. I also want to give a big shout out to the Waupun Subway. That place. That should not be considered a fast food place. We went after the game. We drove a little bit. And we stopped at a Subway in Waupun. This Subway was next level. You know you have a good you're at a good fast food place when they have those touchscreen soda machines, And it was really, really interesting that they have these great facilities, they have great bathrooms, good customer service, but you can't get refills. No free refills here at the Waupun Subway, which I didn't really understand. I was thinking, like, why not just fill up a cup, and then when you're about to leave, fill up another one? What are they going to do to stop you? Say, hey, you don't fill that up. I'm going to fill it up. No, you see the sign says no free refills. But what are you going to do to stop me? I'm going to throw your cup away. That's what I'm going to do. Then I will get another cup. What are they going to do? Nothing. I was legitimately thinking about doing that. What are they going to do to stop me from getting a free refill? Nothing. I'm going to leave there, and they're going to tell me to get out. I'll get my refill and I'll leave. Nothing. But yeah, that Subway just, it felt like I was in a very nice Noodles and Company. That's what it really felt like, except it was a Subway. And I've been to a lot of poorly made Subways. You ever been to the Beaver Dam Subway? When you go into Beaver Dam and it looks like a woodshed is right next to you, and you just see Subway on top of it. That's the Beaver Dam Subway. I've been in there. It's pretty broken down. Juices weekend, Badgers, and then Sunday. If you listen to the last podcast, my hypothetical pick four parlay, I had Packers money line hit. I had Steelers money line over Browns. Kind of bold. It hit. Of course it did. I had Cowboys over Vikings with Cooper Rush at quarterback. Hit. What was my fourth one? What do you think was my fourth one? I was kind of rattling my brain. I was like, Rams over Texans. Yeah, the Rams are going to win, but best bang for your buck, probably not as good. The spread was like 17.5. Then you go to another one. You got Bills over Dolphins. Bills were probably going to win. Again, spread was like 13.5. I was like, meh, not the best odds for your buck. I went with Bengals over Mike White and the Jets. That's what I went with. That was my one true lock in that parlay. In my hypothetical parlay that I never bet. But I'm just saying, if you did bet this, how mad would you be that it is 3rd and 15, I think it was. The Bengals are going to get the ball back down 3 with plenty of time. I think they had all their timeouts. And Mike Hilton gets an unnecessary roughness for tackling Michael Carter. All he did, like, the Jets essentially punted on the play. It was 3rd and 15 and they ran the ball. Like, they know they're not going to get this. Mike Hilton does a typical form tackle, gets low, low man wins, gets low, and he bumps heads with Michael Carter. Obviously not intentional. He did not lead with his head. It was shoulder first, and then Michael Carter lowers his head and they bump heads. Unnecessary roughness, automatic first down, Jets win. I'm not even going to, but let's not even bring that up. Because how do the Bengals not beat the Jets? The Jets are without Zach Wilson, and the game before against the Patriots lost by 30-plus points to the Patriots. That offense, that Patriots boring offense. They lost, the Bengals did, and they were number one in the AFC, and they lost to the worst team in football. I hypothetically lost out on $166. $166. What could I have done with $166? I don't know. Maybe chipped away at the undisclosed amount of money that I lost 2 months ago that some people know about. That three-digit number, that mid-thousands number that I lost, that I had to pay back in chunks over two-month span, I could have chipped away at that figure with $166. But no, Joe Burrow could not beat Mike White. That is just the stuff about the NFL that really makes me mad. Sometimes it makes no sense, the NFL. I saw a meme about how, you know, the Jets beat the number one team in the AFC. The Saints lost to the Giants and they beat the Buccaneers. Like, the NFL just sometimes makes zero sense. And that's why you never know with these parlays. You just never know. That's why every single pick I make in my parlays, in my hypothetical parlays, that I may or may not do, they are going to be thought out, and I have to think about how the NFL doesn't make sense, and I have to just remember, anything can happen. But it literally ruined my day. Like, watching that Cowboys game and watching the Cowboys win with an Amari Cooper touchdown, just, it made me look back. Joe Burrow, just all he had to do was beat Mike White. All he had to do was beat Mike White. And a defense that picked off Aaron Rodgers, which is probably the biggest rarity in all of sports, a defense that picked off Aaron Rodgers couldn't stop Mike White from throwing for over 400 yards. I have lost all faith in the Cincinnati Bengals forever. I had to just vent on that. But now we go into everyone's favorite segment. Gambling is a huge trend going on at Neenah High School that I do not partake in. But I'm just here to help people out. So, Juice's hypothetical pick four parlay. Let's get into it. Let me just pull up the spreads and the numbers here. I already have it set up. I just gotta, you know, look at my stuff here. All right, here we go. Number one, I had to get this out of the way. The Chiefs are favored against the Packers. The 4-4 Chiefs that won by 3 against the Giants on Monday Night Football are favored against the Packers, who get basically all of their offensive weapons back. That blows my mind. Vegas really, like, I almost never question Vegas, but this one you gotta question. I don't care that it's at Kansas City. This is Aaron Rodgers and his fully powered up offense against that Chiefs defense and that Chiefs secondary. Not to mention the Chiefs O-line going up against the Packers' vaunting pass rush. And for some reason, Travis Kelce's inability to get open, and any other Chiefs receiver for that matter other than Tyreek Hill. I just don't see a way the Packers lose this game. I really don't. They are coming off the biggest win of the Matt LaFleur era in the regular season. They are on such a high right now. They have all the momentum. They are arguably the best team in the NFL. Put number one on every single power ranking. I don't care that Patrick Mahomes is on the other side. Look at the team. Don't think about the previous years with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Don't think about those two Super Bowls that they went to and probably the third one that they should have went to in Patrick Mahomes' rookie year. This is not a great Chiefs team. They are not that good. Why shouldn't the Packers go to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs? They will. And they're a 1-point underdog. That is the first time. Right when I saw that, I knew the Packers are going to beat the Chiefs, and this has to be in the parlay. Number two, Arizona against the 49ers. I understand Kyler Murray is probably not going to play. But I still like the Cardinals in this one. I really do. I just think that they have so many weapons on offense, and they have still a great, great defense. I really don't see a way Jimmy Garoppolo can go toe-to-toe with the Cardinals and beat them. This 49ers team is just not... People thought, you know, with all the injuries they had this year, they were really going to have a bounce-back year, but the chemistry between Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo is basically lost. Also, Shanahan, overrated coach. I don't know why people still think that guy is a top-five coach in the league. His resume just does not... It doesn't add up. He went to a Super Bowl. Other than that, his resume is just not... It's just not there with the likes of Belichick and LaFleur and Sean Payton and all those guys. So, the spread was... I believe the Cardinals are favored by a point. I liked the spread. I liked what Vegas gave me there. So we're gonna add the Cardinals to the pick four parlay. So you got Packers over Kansas City Chiefs money line, Cardinals over the 49ers money line. Next, we have the Giants and the Los Angeles Chargers. Giants against the Raiders. I see an upset brewing here. I really like the Giants over the Raiders. I see a desperate Giants team that really came off a really good game against the Chiefs. I thought they played well. I think the Giants are a good team. I like their defense, and Saquon Barkley should be coming back, I believe. So why not go and beat the Las Vegas Raiders, who still have an interim head coach and are coming off a tragedy in their team with Henry Ruggs literally killing someone in a driving under the influence accident. I think there's a lot of things going into that Las Vegas Raiders locker room. I believe that with the contrast of Gruden still being gone, the interim head coach, and Henry Ruggs, you know, what happened with him, this is not a good lineup for the Raiders to go to New York. This is the Giants at home and beat the Raiders. I think Daniel Jones is good enough to play well against this Raiders defense, even though he didn't play well on Monday. I like the Giants to beat the Raiders. I believe the spread's +4.5 for the Giants. I like it. That's another upset in the parlay. And then lastly, this is a spread that also really didn't make much sense to me. How are the Chargers favored by a point over the Eagles? Just because the Eagles had a potent running attack against the Lions does not mean that you think they're going to beat the Chargers. The Chargers are still a very good team with a very good defense and a great quarterback and a lot of weapons. I also am not a believer in the Eagles. Nick Sirianni, I believe, is not a great coach. I don't know how he got the job, considering... Did anyone hear that interview of him comparing the Eagles team to a flower? I found that very strange. He said this team has roots that need to be cared for every day, watered every day, and eventually blossom into a flower. The Eagles don't have enough talent to be a flower. The Eagles are at most a weed. So give me the Chargers over the Eagles. Bet 10, win $142. Mark it down. If anybody wants to join, hypothetically join me on that parlay, be my guest, and we can all win together. So yeah, how about it? Green Bay Packers money line. Cardinals money line, Giants money line, Chargers money line, pick four parlay. Juice's hypothetical pick four parlay. Well, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to get into one more segment that I'm excited about, top five. Juice's top five. This week, it's going to be fast food places. Be right back. All right, so now we got a segment that I'm excited for. I'm excited for every segment I make. But it is a top five fast food places. I'm going to try to do a top five list, because I understand that not all of my listeners are sports fans. I got to try to please everyone. So I'm going to do top five lists, and I'm going to try to do lists that don't involve sports. If they do, I'll try not to do that. I'll try to do top five lists that aren't sports, but I got a very controversial topic. I like to call myself a fast food connoisseur. I get fast food a lot, and in doing so, I've tasted a lot of different fast food places, and I don't think you're going to find a better list or a more informed list than mine that's about to come up right now. So, Ice Emery in journalism today asked our teacher what's her favorite fast food place, basically. And she didn't really give a good answer. She said she doesn't like fast food. But Ice and I had a discussion. Ice will be a guest on The Juice in about 2 weeks before the upcoming basketball season. And basically, me and Ice had a conversation, and Ice said a lot of very dumb points that I did not agree with, and I just thought, you know what, let's get my top five fast food places out. So, we're going to go 5-1, and I'm going to give you some honorable mentions. So, I'm seen as a Subway hater, because there are three sub places that I like over it. I like Jimmy John's over Subway, I like Jersey Mike's over Subway, and I like another subplace that is going to be on my top five. But I feel like Subway has got to be in my honorable mention. I feel like Subway always can fulfill any needs. You make your own sandwich, which is obviously great. And the toasted aspect, if you can toast your sub, I'm always down for that. And on top of that, it just tastes pretty good. And I will say, anytime you do like a sport or any physical activity, if I'm ever having fast food after it, I most of the time always choose Subway. So Subway is going to be on my honorable mention. Other honorable mentions, Jersey Mike's. very, very good. Another good sub plays and Jimmy John's. Great, great sub plays. And do I think another A&W? Also pretty good. Decent burger, very good cheese curds, and very good root beer. You got to have A&W in your honorable mention. And then Chipotle, very good. I think it's better than Qdoba. You got to have kind of that. You got to have different varieties of fast food places. I can't just have sandwich shops and burger places in my top five. So that, Chipotle, very good. And then Taco Bell, cheap, tastes good, kind of ruins your asshole, but it's... It's still good food, and I was on a really big Taco Bell kick last year, kind of got away from it. A little disappointing because it's very cheap and good. Probably should go back there more, but Taco Bell, also another good option for you. And all right, we're gonna get into our top fast food places. Number five, McDonald's. I honestly find you crazy if you don't have McDonald's in your top five. McDonald's is so good. A Big Mac, a cheeseburger, a McChicken, a quarter pounder. They have so many good options for burgers in on that menu, and for such a reasonable price. There is a McDonald's by the Pump and Munch, which is where I work, and I go to that McDonald's a lot. That's probably that building that is by Pump and Munch and by my house is probably... I've ordered from that fast food joint more than any other fast food place that I've ever been to, and it's not close. And I feel like you just have to have McDonald's somewhere around your top five because it's so classic, so good, and so reasonably priced. McDonald's number five. I do not care how the burgers are made. I don't care how the food is shipped. It's good, and I'm gonna eat it. Number four, a new recent restaurant that was added to the area in Appleton where you got a plethora of fast food options, but this one sticks out. Freddy's Steak Burgers. Freddy's was recently added this summer, and it is amazing. You'll be hard-pressed to find a more diverse menu than Freddy's. They got chicken. They got steak burgers. They got hot dogs. They got cheese curds. They got fries. They got their own signature fry sauce. Freddy's has it all, and it's very good, again, for a somewhat reasonable price for the value that you're getting. To me, it tastes a little worse than Culver's, but Culver's kills it in terms of price value. So I feel like I gotta have Freddy's at number four because of the diversity of the menu and the reasonable price, and it tastes amazing. They basically what they do at Freddy's, it's the most unique burger, new unique fast food burger that I've ever tasted. They're steak burgers, and the patty is pressed very thin, but I feel like the pressing that is able to do kind of boost the flavor a little bit, and so you always get a double steak burger, so you can get the, you know, the more of the patty, because I feel like one single cheeseburger probably wouldn't taste as good. You got to get a double, and I believe every single one comes with a double. I'm pretty sure. I'd have to look that up. But Freddy's, very good burger, great fries, and great hot dogs that I've wasted. The bun is like a loaf of bread that's a little thinner, and it's like an actual legit like slice of loaf of bread, and like a classic loaf, and they kind of fold it into a bun and they toast it. So good, very 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 good burger, very good hot dogs. Haven't had the cheese curds or the chicken yet, but I'm going to eventually. Freddy's, gotta be there. Number four. Number three. On my top five fast food places. This is a place that not everybody has been to. It's in Oshkosh. There isn't many around, but there's just one in Oshkosh. Go try it. It's Potbelly's. Potbelly's is the best sandwich that I've ever had. It is... First off, when you go in there, the customer service is the best I've ever had. There's this one guy that works there that always has a meaningful conversation with me. He always comments on something that I'm wearing, what's been going on in my day. It's honestly like pumping munch. Customer service. If you've ever been to Pump Munch, you always get a good greeting and a good conversation with anybody who's working there. And that's the same for Potbelly's. And they make every sandwich with tender love and care. The sandwiches are toasted to perfection, and the sandwiches are hot. Who doesn't love a hot sandwich over a cold sandwich? My signature is the wreck. That's the sandwich that I usually get. You got salami, turkey, ham, lettuce, mayonnaise, their signature red wine vinegar, and then You can get some spicy sandwiches there too. Nolan Kubiak, when I went with him, he said he very much enjoyed their spicy stuff. So
you got to have Potbelly's there. A very big menu filled with different sandwiches that you'd like to try. But the sandwiches, the toasted bread is kind of tops it off in terms of when I compare it to any other sandwich shop. Potbelly's is number 3. Again, probably haven't tried it, but if you want to try it, go to Oshkosh right now and try Potbelly's. It's the best.
Number 2, a little controversial here. A lot of people, this is probably a fast food place that is called overrated the most, and that's Chick-fil-A. I think Chick-fil-A absolutely washes Popeyes. Anybody that says Popeyes is better, I don't know how your stomach can actually consume that. I have Popeyes, and Popeyes chicken is good, but after the tummy feels and the toilet feels, not great. So, and even when I'm eating it, I can just tell, like, there's going to be some ramifications in about an hour after I'm eating this. And the chicken's good. The fries are pretty good. The service is poor, to say the least. One time I went to Popeyes, waited, and I was the only one in line. Just I stood by the cash register for a good 4 minutes, and I wasn't served. Just people saw me, but they were really more focused on the drive-through. Not sure why, but I was right there and I was waiting. Didn't really want to say anything because I'm not that type of guy on fast food places. I'm pretty patient. But yeah, Popeyes, I would take Chick-fil-A over Popeyes in a heartbeat. The chicken to me tastes better, and then when you add the sauce to your chicken sandwich, and when you have those fries with that sauce, it's just such a great meal. I had Chick-fil-A a couple days ago, and it just confirmed everything that I've thought about Chick-fil-A. It's amazing chicken and a great all around meal. And you're left with a my pleasure every single time. And if you're going through the drive-thru, the line can be out of the parking lot and you're out of there in 8 minutes. It's the best. Chick-fil-A, every time I leave there, I'm always satisfied. And number 1,
Ice Emery called this place overrated. I also have other friends that call this place overrated. I do not know how you could ever call this place overrated other than the fact that it is a little pricey, and that is Culver's, a Wisconsin classic. Culver's has the best fast food burger, bar none. Butter burgers are amazing. The bun is toasted to perfection. You got butter in that burger, hence the name. The meat is so juicy and tender and very, very, very tasty. And then on top of that, you get the works on your butter burger along with some cheese curds. It's $11. Sure. If you get a double butter burger, value basket with cheese curds, it's $11. I don't care because I have a lot of money. But so I don't really care. I don't go to Culver's that much because obviously there's no dine-in and the line for the drive-thru is pretty long. But when I get that food right in front of me, it is gone in seconds. And I really, when I was having Culver's as a kid, I really took it for granted because my taste buds, I didn't feel like they were matured yet. And now as an 18-year-old eating Culver's, and has had so many burgers, so many fast food burgers around Wisconsin, Culver's tops it off easily. And fast food burgers are honestly my favorite food. And when your favorite food is fast food burgers, and Culver's has the best fast food burger along with great cheese curds, I don't know how you can't put it on number 1, along with great custard too, great ice cream. I always get Reese's peanut butter cups on my one scoop of custard in a dish. It's amazing. Like, I always leave. I have never left Culver's unsatisfied. And couple that with a great server in Steve, the guy that says welcome after every single time you say thank you for him giving you your food. Never you're welcome. It's welcome. And he's been there for many years. You got to give a shout out to that guy. He is a grinder. Always working. I honestly don't think that guy has ever not worked at Culver's. So, yeah. Top 5 fast food places: 5 McDonald's, 4 Freddy's, 3 Potbelly's, 2 Chick-fil-A, and 1 Culver's. That is my list. Feel free to discuss it on Twitter or discuss it with me in person. I don't care. I'll take all the smoke because I'm right. I've had more fast food than anybody in Nina High School, and I will stand by that.
Well, that seems like it's about it. A decently long episode for the Juice Dad. I've tried to keep them 30 minutes, but if it gets to 40 minutes, that's fine, because they probably should be a little longer. 30-minute podcasts are just not really a thing nowadays. So if I can get it longer than that, it's not a bad thing. We'll see you next Tuesday on the Juice. Again, remember my hypothetical pick four parlay: Packers money line, Cardinals money line, Giants money line, and Chargers money line. There we go, for a payout of $142. You want to make $142? Do it this weekend with my parlay. That's it for the Juice. See you next Tuesday. Chance takes off.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm pretty cool. My neti bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
Geno, Chatham's on. Foolie's glad I'm on. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my